Ever find yourself facing a state court action that you just know, you just feel, is violating some pretty fundamental constitutional rights? Well, today we're diving deep into Mitchum v. Foster, and this Supreme Court case, this is the one that really unlocks when federal courts can actually hit the brakes on those state court proceedings.
It really is. We're talking about Mitchum v. Foster from 1972, and it's a big one, especially for you law students out there. It's all about those times when federal courts can step in, stop a state court in its tracks to protect those constitutional rights. And you know the big picture here? It's about that constant push and pull between federalism, how much power does the state have, how much power does the federal government have, and then those individual rights, those liberties that we're all about. It's a tricky balance, and 42 U.S.C. Section 1983 kind of sits right in the middle of all of it.
It does, and it creates this interesting tension, right? Because on the one hand, we have the Anti-Injunction Act. That's 28 U.S.C. 2283, and that's all about making sure federal courts aren't constantly butting into things that are already happening in state courts. But then we have Mitchum, and that throws a pretty big wrench into things, especially when Congress has specifically said, hey, federal courts, you can jump in here. And that's what makes this case so important, figuring out it, Section 1983 gives that green light for federal courts to intervene.
It absolutely does. And to really appreciate how the Supreme Court landed where they did, I think it helps to take a step back. What was going on that led to this landmark decision? What problem were they trying to solve?
Okay, so imagine this. We've got Robert Mitchum, and just to be clear, not the Hollywood actor, but a bookstore owner down in Florida. And Mitchum's selling books, and these books, well, the local folks are calling them obscene. So we've got this Florida prosecutor who decides, you know what, we're going to shut this bookstore down. It's a public nuisance, they say, and we've got a state law to back us up.
And the state court, they take action. They issue a preliminary injunction, basically telling Mitchum, close up shop. Stop selling those books.
Right, but here's where things get interesting. Mitchum, he doesn't just fight it out in state court. He takes it to federal court using Section 1983. He's basically saying, hold on, this whole public nuisance thing, it's just a way for the state to stomp all over my First Amendment rights, my freedom of speech, and my 14th Amendment right to due process. So he's asking the federal court to stop those state proceedings, shut them down completely.
Now, the federal district court, when they hear this, they're like, whoa, wait a minute. The Anti-Injunction Act says we can't do that. They felt bound by this law that, like we said, generally keeps federal courts from meddling in state court business.
And on the surface, you can see their point, right? We don't want a system where federal courts are always questioning what state courts are doing. But Mitchum, he disagreed. And that's why this case ended up going all the way to the highest court in the land.
So let's talk about this legal roadblock, this Anti-Injunction Act. What's the big idea behind it? What's it trying to do?
Well, the Anti-Injunction Act, it's all about setting some ground rules. It's saying that, generally speaking, federal courts, they can't issue injunctions to put a halt to things that are already in motion in state courts. And the reason for that is pretty straightforward. We want to respect the authority and the independence of state courts, right? We don't want constant clashes between the federal and state systems.
It's about that concept of comity, where different court systems, they respect each other's turf, they respect each other's decisions, so things can run smoothly without one system always stepping on the other's toes. Now, like you said, it's not an absolute rule. There are exceptions. Congress knew there would be times when federal courts needed to get involved. So what are those exceptions?
Yeah, there are three main exceptions written right into the law where a federal court can step in and stop a state court proceeding. Number one is if Congress specifically says, okay, federal courts, you're allowed to intervene in this kind of case, and that's what we call an expressly authorized exception. Then there's number two, if the federal court needs to issue an injunction to properly do its job, like to make sure its own judgments are actually being followed, and that's necessary in aid of its jurisdiction. And then number three is to protect or enforce the judgments they've already made.
And for us today, that first exception, the one where Congress has given the thumbs up for intervention, that's the one that's front and center in Mitchum. And that brings us to the heart of the matter, Section 1983.
It does. So 42 U.S.C. Section 1983, this is a big one. It's been around for a while, passed back in 1871 as part of the Civil Rights Act. This law is basically saying, look, if you've got state or local government officials and they're violating someone's constitutional rights while they're acting in their official capacity under the color of state law, well, that person can sue them in federal court. It's a big deal, especially if you think about it from a historical perspective, right? If someone in a position of power is abusing that power, using the law to infringe on your rights, Section 1983, that's your ticket to seek justice in federal court.
And here's the kicker, and this is what makes Mitchum so fascinating. Section 1983 specifically says that you can bring a suit in equity. Now, I know for some folks out there that might sound a bit like legalese, but what that means is this. Injunctive relief, where a court orders someone to stop doing something that's a classic example of an equitable remedy. So the million-dollar question in Mitchum becomes, does this suit in equity language in Section 1983, does that actually mean Congress is giving federal courts the power to enjoin state court proceedings under that first exception to the Anti-Injunction Act? It's a puzzle about how much power Section 1983 really gives federal courts.
And the Supreme Court, after looking at all the arguments, they say, you know what? Yes, it does. They decide that Section 1983 is a valid exception to the Anti-Injunction Act, meaning that under certain circumstances, federal courts can step in and stop state court proceedings.
And what's really interesting is how they got there. They didn't just look at the words of Section 1983 and call it a day. They dug deep into the history, the context, the whole purpose behind this law.
Yeah, and that's key here, right? They're not just doing a strict, literal reading of the statute. The court, they're emphasizing that Section 1983, it's not just any law. It was meant to be this really strong tool to protect those fundamental rights, those federally protected rights, from being trampled on by states. And Justice Stewart, he lays this out so clearly in the majority opinion. He says, and I'm going to quote this because it's so important, he says, the very purpose of Section 1983 was to interpose the federal courts between the states and the people as guardians of the people's federal rights to protect the people from unconstitutional action under color of state law, whether that action be executive, legislative, or judicial.
Wow. That quote really gets to the heart of it, doesn't it? You can really sense that historical backdrop, right?
Yeah.
The courts thinking about the post-Civil War era, there were real concerns back then that state courts, maybe they wouldn't always be the best protectors of these new federal rights that were being put into place. There was skepticism, a real worry that state institutions, maybe they weren't quite ready or willing to really step up and protect those fundamental rights.
It was a different time, for sure. So the court's saying that when Congress wrote Section 1983 and said, hey, you can bring a suit in equity, they knew that included the power to issue injunctions, especially if an injunction was the only way to stop someone's constitutional rights from being violated. They're basically saying, look, if a state court is actively violating someone's rights, federal courts need to be able to step in, stop that train wreck from happening. That's what Section 1983 is all about. The big takeaway here, especially for our listeners who are studying law right now, is that Congress, with Section 1983, they set up this system where federal courts can keep an eye on what states are doing, even inside their own court systems, and make sure they're upholding those federal rights. This wasn't some random decision. It was a conscious choice to make sure those federal rights were protected, and that's a fundamental principle in our legal system.
It really speaks to that inherent tension between the power of the states and the power of the federal government, doesn't it? And the courts recognizing that Congress, with Section 1983, they intentionally shifted that balance of power when it came to protecting individual rights. It wasn't just about getting money after your rights were already violated. It was about giving federal courts the ability to step in and prevent violations from continuing, even if that meant interfering with a state court case that was already happening.
And, you know, we talked earlier about exceptions to that Anti-Injunction Act. And the court in Mitchum, they kind of lay out this informal test, even though they don't explicitly call it that. And basically, for a federal law to count as a valid exception to that Anti-Injunction Act, it has to create a specific federal right or a remedy that would be totally useless. It would be frustrated, to use their word, if federal courts couldn't issue injunctions. And the court, they decided that Section 1983, well, it passes that test because it allows for these broad, equitable remedies, which means injunctions are definitely on the table, especially when you need to prevent those constitutional violations from continuing.
Now, it's worth pointing out that the decision in Mitchum wasn't a slam dunk. Chief Justice Berger, he filed a concurring opinion. And it's a good reminder that there are some limitations, some things to consider when it comes to this whole idea of federal intervention.
Absolutely. While Chief Justice Berger, he agreed with the majority that, yeah, Section 1983, it definitely creates an exception to the Anti-Injunction Act. He was also very clear that federal courts, they can't just go wild. They still have to play by the rules of equity, comity, and federalism when they're thinking about whether to actually stop a state court from doing its thing. And, you know, we've talked about comity before, but it's worth repeating. It's all about mutual respect between different court systems, making sure one system isn't constantly overriding the other.
What this means is that even though Mitchum opens the door for federal courts to get involved in certain state court cases, it's not like they have a free pass to just jump in whenever they feel like it. They still have to respect the independence of those state courts, and they shouldn't be interfering unless there's a really good reason. They have to weigh the different factors, the equities of the situation, and they have to consider those big picture principles of federalism before taking such a drastic step.
That's a great point, and it's something I really want to drive home for all those law students out there listening. Mitchum, it didn't do away with Younger v. Harris. And for those who need a refresher, Younger, that's the case that says federal courts, they should generally stay out of ongoing state criminal proceedings. There are some very specific, very limited exceptions to that rule, but for the most part, Younger is still the law of the land. So Mitchum carves out this very specific exception for Section 1983, but the overall idea that federal courts shouldn't be meddling in state court business unless it's absolutely necessary, that's still in effect.
So as we wrap this all up, why does Mitchum v. Foster matter so much? Why should our listeners who are studying law really understand this case?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that it sheds light on the relationship between the federal and state court systems. It's like a map that shows you how these two systems work together, especially when you're dealing with cases about civil rights. Mitchum, it lays down the law. It tells us exactly when a federal court can step in and say, hold up, this state court proceeding, it's violating someone's constitutional rights, and we're not going to let that stand. It's like a constitutional safety net, making sure that people's rights are protected even when things are happening in state court.
Absolutely. And it shows just how powerful Section 1983 is, how it was designed to make sure those federal rights are protected, even within a state court proceeding.
Yeah.
And it's a perfect example of how important it is to really understand the law, how to interpret it, how to look at the words, the history, the purpose behind it, like the court did with Section 1983, to figure out exactly what it means and how it should be applied.
So the big takeaway from our deep dive into Mitchum v. Foster, it's this. The court made it clear that Section 1983 gives federal courts the power to intervene in state court proceedings, to stop them dead in their tracks if they have to protect people's constitutional rights. But, and this is a big but, the power is not unlimited. Federal courts can't just go around interfering in state court cases all willy-nilly. They have to respect the fact that states have their own court systems, and they have to think carefully about whether it's really appropriate for them to step in.
It's this constant balancing act, isn't it? And that brings us to a really important question for all of you listening out there, especially those of you who are studying law right now and thinking about your future legal careers. As you move forward and start encountering real cases, cases where you see someone's civil rights potentially being violated in a state court proceeding, remember what Mitchum teaches us. Think back to why Section 1983 was created in the first place, and remember that balancing act we've been talking about between protecting individual rights and respecting the role of state courts. How does that balance play out in the real world? How do we ensure that both of those values are upheld? It's a question worth wrestling with, and it's one that will stay with you throughout your legal journey.